Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm John Batser, visiting with Professor Eleanor Barraclough, Embers of the Hands, Hidden Histories of the Viking Age. The Viking Age closed over time, or didn't close, because it's still with us. Everybody who knows Lord of the Rings well knows the Viking world. We're talking about a language and a time that's magical. However, there's also what I find in Eleanor's closing remarks, a sadness to it, because the world ended. And when did it end is the story we're now approaching. Eleanor, where is Herjolfsnes?
So Herjolfsnes is right at the southern tip of Greenland. And Greenland, for me, is one of the most fascinating parts of Norse Viking Age history. It's the bit that I think I love the most. I've spent a lot of time researching out there. It's very wild. It's very remote still. But it also means there's a lot still to see. There's whole churches still standing, there's farmsteads, you can really get a sense of what it was like. Herjolfsnes was one of the first places to be settled. So the Norse essentially start to settle parts of the west coast of Greenland under Eric the Red, who's sort of outlawed from Iceland for killings and ends up spending 3 years of his outlawry in Greenland, coming back, fetching his relatives and his friends and going out and settling. This is around 985. So again, we're heading up to that first millennium date again. So Herjolfsnes is settled then. Herjolfsnes is also one of the last places to stop being settled, to stop having Norse people living there. And it's really interesting because the permafrost and the ice that traditionally surrounded, the coast of Greenland, although, increasingly not, it meant that huge amounts of organic material survived from the Norse settlement of Greenland in ways that we don't really see in many other places. And in the case of Herjolfsnes, we have a graveyard. And in the graveyard, we have the bodies and the clothes of many of the last inhabitants or the last generations of inhabitants of Norse Greenland. And this takes us all the way up into the early 15th century.
And the clothing is not associated with high status people.
Not at all, no. So it's made of a type of fabric that they called Vathmal or Wadmal, you might say, which is, quite a coarse woolen garment, very good for keeping out the wind and the wet. Somewhere like Greenland, that would have really mattered. And in the book, I hone in on one garment. It's a woman's dress, and it's been mended, during its lifetime of wear, possibly during her lifetime if it belonged to her. It's been patched up, and you find this in these graves, that the clothes are patched up again and again. These are, yes, by this point, not high-status people. And this is, by this point, they have lost, it seems, a lot of their connections to the rest of the world that they were once part of, this Norse diaspora that stretched, certainly to the Scandinavian mainland, but also beyond, further east. And so you find this dress, and for the last time, it's pulled over the head of this woman who's now died. And in fact, this very poignant detail, it rips when they're putting it on her for the last time. There's a rip that isn't mended. And for me, that's one of the very personal details that really sort of gets you. It's very hard to forget a detail like that once you read it. And she's buried in this dress. And it's hard to date exactly, but we're talking, somewhere in the first part, probably, of the 15th century. And what's fascinating, though, is someone must have buried her, or people must have buried her, but she's one of the last people to be buried there. No one's buried above her. And so that begs the question, well, what happened to those very last people? And this is one of these great unsolved mysteries of those dying days of the Norse world.
It's getting colder. There's a climate change that made Greenland possible and then made Greenland not possible. And Eric the Red, a wonderful salesman, if the story is accurate, he named it Greenland because he thought it would encourage settlers. Very clever. Do we accept that as a real story? I've always thought it was too clever for, it sounds so modern.
It does, doesn't it? It is in one of the sagas. So there's two sagas that focus particularly on Greenland and then their expeditions to the edge of North America. And it's there. It says Eric named it Greenland in the hope that people would settle there. The thing is, the areas they settled in, particularly where Eric, I mean, you know, I've been to where Eric's farmstead probably was. It's green, it's lush in the summer. The problem is the summers are very short and the winters are very long and very hard. And for people who essentially would have sort of survived on a mixture of agriculture and hunting, those long winters, they were really on that very edge of what was habitable in terms of their cultural norms and practices.
There are photographs and illustrations throughout Eleanor's book. But two wooden figures here are attached to the Greenlanders who departed. One, the giant figure, wooden figure. These are two Norse Greenlanders. And then the other, more diminutive, clearly looks like a man bear and a woman tending to him. Were these child's toys?
That's a good question. And I don't know the answer. Certainly there are little figures from all across the Norse world that do seem to have been child toys. And for me, those are some of the most poignant and emotionally sort of affecting, you know, artifacts. These ones, yes, possibly. What's interesting is that they seem to have been carved by the non-Norse people, the ancestors of today's Greenlanders, who were also living on the west coast of Greenland at this time. And very slowly, as you say, the temperatures are getting colder, there's more ice. These Arctic people, who are very well adapted to these cold conditions, are moving further down that west coast as it's becoming more habitable for them. But at the same time, the Norse culture is finding it harder and harder. But at a point, the two meet, probably sort of middle of the 13th century, something like that. And it's possible that these two figures were carved by the Inuit inhabitants of Greenland, but they are depicting that dress style that's very typical of the Norse Greenlanders and that we know from the dresses and other garments that are found preserved, as was, in the permafrost in Herjolfsnes in the graveyard.
One more mystery. It's at the close of your book, and I circled it by asking myself, ask Eleanor. The last surviving reports, I read, Eleanor, via Iceland, are a witch burning that took place in 1407 and a wedding that took place in 1408. Witch burning? What is 30 seconds. What were they trying to hold off the cold? Is that why?
It has been suggested. So when you get the witch trials later on, there's an economist called Emily Osler who says, look, there are more witch burnings and the temperature is getting colder. Are these two things connected? But what's fascinating, this witch is a man. He's called Kolgrimur. And it's said that he seduces someone. She's called Steinun. And she's married. He seduces her through witchcraft. And so he's burned as a result of this. And then it says, and she was never the same and she died afterwards too.
Eleanor Barraclough, Embers of the Hands, The Viking Age.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.